If it wasn't for their annoying habit of infecting further victims through touch, they'd be a trivial obstacle at best. As it is, with his ward and his full-body insulated clothing, not to mention his Ostblock ballistic knife, AKM-100 assault gun, and other tools of the trade, he's well-equipped to deal with them. Except that there are too damned many, and they won't stay dead, and the rest of his team are dispersed and in trouble. Speaking of trouble, here comes more. Most of the cultists are wearing black robes, or stupidly inappropriate army surplus camo gear for the guards. If it's naked, and you can count the ribs, it's probably one of the risen dead. Bonus points for shuffling like a stockbroker on a stag night, and big booby prize if you let it get so close you can see the green luminosity writhing in the depths of its eye sockets. Alexei melts into the shadows behind the figure climbing the steps from the crypt. It's wearing a robe and shuffling drunkenly, and he's about to slide the blade of his knife between its two uppermost cervical vertebrae when he realizes that it is not, in fact, one of the possessed, which raises some interesting questions. A moment later, his gloved hand is covering the climber's mouth, and his knife is at her throat.
"Say nothing," he grunts, tugging her backwards into the vestry. "You won't live, yes? Be silent."
The cultist stumbles as he drags her into the shadows, but doesn't say anything. Alexei rolls her to the ground and has her pinioned in a second.
"Where is All Highest?"
he demands, in heavily accented but serviceable English.
"Downstairs, with the Eater of Souls."
The young woman stiffens for a moment, then sags bonelessly. Alexei rises, wraps himself in the cloak that she won't be needing anymore, and wipes his knife on the back of her dress. Then he tiptoes towards the steps down to the crypt. If the Eater of Souls is lurking downstairs, he reasons, then it's very probable that what he came for is to be found there, and Alexei doesn't give up easily. To the north, a red truck creeps along a darkened avenue. Three figures sit atop its roof. One of them holds a white electric violin. Her two guards watch and wonder, entrenching tools raised and ready to shovel mortal remains off the roof, should any such encroach. The truck bumps slowly along in low gear, pushing through a sea of withered bodies that sway and jostle slowly. Occasionally there is a crunch or crackle as the truck rolls over bones that fail to get out of its way in time. The driver doesn't speed up or slow down. To stop in the middle of this unnatural crowd is to court disaster, although none of the feeders has so far attempted to climb aboard the Oculus truck. Down in the darkened truck cab, Major Barnes rides next to the driver, peering into the darkness for any sign of ambush. He talks into his headset.
200 meters in. Dr. O'Brien, do you see any sign of survivors?
Mo, atop the cab, raises her bow.
Not right here, she says shortly.
The walking dead are undirected. The grounded metal framework of the truck blocks their ability to sense those who ride within, and the warm meat on the cab roof is out of easy reach. A crack of gunfire sounds. Mo looks round sharply as Hal grabs her shoulder.
Down,
he snaps, and she ducks as he raises his MP5 and squints through its night sights. The gunfire is coming from a chapel, half concealed by trees and the silent army of walking corpses. There are more shots, followed by shouts and a scream, cut off short.
Shooters on the building roofline, Howe reports. Five bodies. Defenses at ground level, barricades. I can't see anyone manning them. The crowd's thickest there. Defenders have... No, wait...
Cold flesh, bodies that do not show on infrared, have formed an abhuman pyramid to one side of the chapel. The survivors on the roof are shooting, but not at the Oculus truck. They have problems that are closer to hand. As one corpse disintegrates, another takes its place, and the defenders have fewer banishment rounds than the Brookwood has open graves.
Doc, can you do anything about them?
Howe asks.
Because I don't think we're going to get in there without...
Mo raises her bow. Strikes a shivering note from the burning strings. Howe winces and moves aside.
Give me some elbow room, she says flatly.
Then she touches the strings lightly, coaxing an eerie, familiar leitmotif from her instrument.
Put this out through the PA circuit, she mutters, grimly determined.
Down below, Barnes grimaces tensely and twists input dials on the truck's external public address systems. The growing wild resonance of Die Valkenrit floods from the big speakers mounted to either side of the cab. The driver looks sidelong at his CO, then floors the accelerator in low gear, adding the roar of the big diesel and the crunch of unburied bones to the music. Barnes announces to the back of the truck, "All right, gentlemen, this is going to be an opposed entry, and they know we're coming. Wards up. Arms up. Party time in 60 seconds. The risen dead are fleeing, for the most part, out of the way of the truck, as it roars and bucks across the path. It's the music that does it. Mo stands atop the roof, utterly engrossed in tracking the melody. Richard Wagner, it was said, hated violinists. Blood drips from her fingertips as the eerie, extra-dimensional resonances of her interpretation of one of his most famous works drags the sound of an entire string section, and a brassy resonance echoing from the metal flanks of the truck, into being. The truck crunches across skeletal remnants that lie in rows around the chapel, silent and unmoving. A few bodies, less damaged than the rest, lie near a minivan. Others are clustered near the door to the building, which is ajar. A few less emaciated figures lie among the skeletonized forms. Of these, most bear the signs of gunshot wounds. "Back us up to the door," Barnes tells the driver. Switching to the common channel, "All right, we're going in. Standard entry protocol for mass possession. Scary and Howe, over to you. Dr. O'Brien, time to get down off the roof. You can follow with me once we've cleared the way. See if we can figure out what we're looking at."